Happy, thankful to be with y'all here today at this meeting. Love coming to Little Vine Church, my old home church. It's good to see all of you. It's glad to see the Lord blessing you. Glad to see Brother Mark is still among preaching, doing well. May God bless you, your pastor, Brother Mark, Sister Kim. Appreciate all the work y'all have done. Appreciate this meeting. Now, Brother Bruce, I love you very much. Having said that, I have a question for you, Brother Bruce. We're going to need you to get back up here into the stand again, because cliffhangers do not belong in sermons. You got old boy sitting up there on that gurney in that Undertaker place, and we don't know what happened next.
I got out of there quickly.
I bet, yeah. I still want to know what happened. I heard of that happening, but you was with an Undertaker who could explain it. But that's where you left us. Now, having said that, you're about to witness one of the most ironic things that has ever happened at a Primitive Baptist church meeting. As I announce my subject is the resurrection of the dead. I had that subject before Brother Bruce's brother got up there in that place. Now, that man did not rise from the dead. There's a scientific explanation of that, which we won't get into. But I just have a few thoughts to give to you. May the Lord bless as we consider the subject that is the be-all, the end-all, the thing that we look forward to the most. The purpose of life, the purpose of the life of Christ, the ministry of Christ, the theme of our song, the theme of our sermons. It is, without it, there is nothing at all that is good in this world. The Apostle Paul, in response to the Corinthians, says in verse 15 and verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen." That's an interesting way of looking at it. We usually will reverse it and say, well, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then we're not going to rise from the dead. But he said it opposite. If we do not rise from the dead, then Jesus never rose from the dead. He is still in the tomb somewhere. It failed. He failed. We fail. They are linked together. Our resurrection to his resurrection. His resurrection to our resurrection. It has to be carried to the resurrection of every elect child of God. If one is left out, then he likewise again failed. I don't understand why anybody would want to not believe in the resurrection. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But there are people among us that call themselves Primitive Baptists who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Now, I hope if you're here, do not raise your hand, or go ahead if you want to. The Apostle Paul, in his defense of the reality of the resurrection, did not call it life after death. That's important. Okay. You can say, well, I don't believe that there's going to be a resurrection for us, but I do believe that we'll be in heaven. Then you're just as bad off as if you did not believe in life after death. because there is no life after death if there is no resurrection. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has claimed us, soul, body, and spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ paid for us with his own precious blood. He bought us, and we are his forever. We are his right now. We will be his in heaven. We will be his after the resurrection. I do believe that when we leave this world, if you are a child of God, then you go on to be with your Father in the heavens. You are in glory. I believe you have a consciousness and awareness. I believe that you know as you are known, and you know where you are, and you are at peace for the first time ever. I ask questions like this to those people who are up there right now outside of Enoch and Elijah, who are there in their bodies. Everybody else is there in spirit. Is heaven going to get better after the resurrection? I don't think so, but I think it'll be better for them in a way, if I can put it like this. Because I think the Lord will have greater satisfaction in that, because that was his purpose in coming to the earth. He did not want 2/3 of us. He wanted 3/3 of us. Amen. And so, Brother Bruce was talking about our Lord on the cross. And one of the things that he said on the cross, he said 7 things on the cross. And one of the, I like to think that this was the next to the last thing that he said on the cross was this: it is finished. Okay. I think the last thing he said was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I think that's the 7th thing. So the 6th thing was, it is finished. And I think what was finished was a lot of things were finished when he said, it is finished. His life was finished. I think the law was finished. The types and shadows of the law are finished. The work that he came to do, the work of redemption, the work of atonement, the work of salvation, his suffering on the cross, his physical life. But chiefly, I believe that the work that he came to do was under consideration most of all. And he would even say that in what we call the high priestly prayer. He would say, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He said, it is finished, and days later he said, it is finished. Did he mean the same thing? Yes. Yes. Because time means nothing to the Lord. Which is why he could say glorified, past tense, even though it hasn't happened yet. Because time is nothing to God. God created time. A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Try to figure that out, then you're God, right? You can't figure that out. You can't. The best thing you'll get out of that is a migraine. Don't worry about it. Just accept it, believe it, and move on. So, he said it is finished, but there's things yet to do. Yet to happen, yet to transpire. One of the things that needed to happen was what has been mentioned a lot in this meeting. The veil of the temple needed to be rent. I think it needed to be rent. Yeah. If it did need to be, then why was it? It was rent. And whether they sewed it back up again, doesn't matter. It was rent. And we need to see it as rent, because what that means is this. We need to understand we have access by grace and his faith wherein we stand, and we have boldness that we can enter into the holiness by the Lord Jesus Christ, present our petitions unto him, and pray to him and give him glory like no one ever has before in this new living testament that we have. That's a good thing. Chiefly, though, the Lord, in 3 days and 3 nights, needed to rise from the grave. And when he rose from the grave, a great sermon of justification came out, because he rose again for our justification. What that means is this. When Christ rose from the dead, that means he defeated death. And he defeated the sting and the strength of sin. And in that declared the righteousness of every one of God's people, that they stand before a just, holy God, justified and righteous, consecrated, holy, just as his only begotten Son. And there are some other things that need to happen. Every one of his people needed to be born again. Yes, you have to be born again. And you will be born again. You cannot get born again. I cannot born you again. I didn't born myself the first time. I can't do it the second time. That is all up into the power and discretion of the Lord through his Holy Spirit. But yet it will happen. And then, lastly, every one of his people will rise in victory over death, hell, and the grave at the last trump. Will present themselves to Christ in the air, be counted as his sheep. They are going to be changed. We, may I say, are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and our bodies will be, what did you say, Brother Philip? Reformed in the fashion of his own glorious body. And then I can say, I think I'm a Christian now. I think I can say that at that moment. Because that means to be Christ-like. I'm not like Christ right now. I ought to be, but I'm not. But I think at that moment I can say, like, it's really good to be a Christian right now. Glad I'm not a Christian. We if Christ be preached, but he wrote, let me just keep reading. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. You know, we don't always preach so good, do we? Just imagine how bad we would preach if there was no resurrection. There is no such thing as a good sermon anymore. There, you say, that was a really bad sermon. Yes, the next one's going to get worse. And worse and worse. Matter of fact, you're never going to enjoy a sermon ever in your life. There is nothing to sing about. There's nothing to smile about. Paul talks about all this. He said, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. You're saying that the dead don't rise? Then Jesus didn't rise, and we are false teachers. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Based upon this scripture that he says in verse 17. Let me read it to you again. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, semicolon, ye are dead in your sins. Congratulations, you're going to hell. You're a dead, alien sinner. There is no elect. No, not one. What if that was in the Bible? There is no regenerated. No, not one. Why? Because they've all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable, and they're still there. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. I think that perish means eternal torment. I don't think it means just suffering. I think it means suffering of the worst mankind in hell. Almost said devil's hell. You can't say that anymore. Because the devil didn't make hell, the Lord did. This is pretty depressing stuff, isn't it? How do y'all feel? This is an afternoon service, supposed to be alive, supposed to be happy. I feel like crying right now. You need to turn this thing around. No, I want to stay here. This is Bible. Right? This is the scriptures. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'll use 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Man, we're gonna get a barn burner. He's gonna preach the dead, gonna rise, hey, victory in Jesus. And then here's Brother David. You're still in your sins. Yes. You bunch of dogs, sinners, you've come short of the glory of God, and you are so short of the glory of God. Why do you think anything about you? There's nothing good about you at all, because you're still in your sins. There is no Savior if the dead rise not. I like the one word that you see in most of these verses. It's the word if. I'm glad that's there. It's if. And then here's my favorite if in all the Bible in the next verse. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, this really puts the emphasis on the importance of the dead rising. Because if I may say it like this, what is the best things that you've got in your life right now? I'd say, Sister Leslie, my kids, the church, you all, brisket, not hot dogs. Of all the things, brisket would have been a better sermon illustration for that one.
Buying it in the one before.
I know, but you've been preaching long enough that you should know better.
What years?
Yeah. He can't take it. So, I have a lot of good things in my life, and I love the church, and I love going to meetings like this. I love that we sing. I love the sound of our singing. I love the spirit of the singing. I love the joy of the singing. I love the fellowship. I love talking to all of y'all. I love, you know, shooting the breeze, talking about the scriptures, learning about the scriptures. I love the whole entire Primitive Baptist church experience, because it is an experience, to say the least. And it is a good experience. And it's a lifestyle. It is your life is now patterned around being a Primitive Baptist. And it's an abundant life. It's a wonderful life. And I love the fact that I can go to the Lord in prayer as Peter did. Lord, save or I perish. I've prayed that prayer. I call those micro espresso prayers. Man, when I am like, I don't have time to go into an 8-paragraph prayer. Lord, I need help. Amen. And he hears from heaven and he helps. Matter of fact, he walks on the water to where I'm sinking and brings me up. You know the interesting thing about that whole experience is Peter had to walk on the water to get back to that boat. Right? So you can walk on the water with the Lord at your side. And you'll get to the boat and then you're on the other side, and then that's amazing too. And we have all this. But what if that's it? All we have is this. This is it. Little Vine Annual Meeting 2025. This is the best it's going to be. It's not good enough. What if all we had was time salvation but no eternal salvation? Logically, we have no time salvation. Because you can't have time salvation without eternal salvation. Therefore, you've got to have the resurrection in order for the eternal salvation to be complete. And since it is a done deal, because when Christ rose from the dead, It assured every one of his people will rise from the dead. It's like we were buried with him and we rose with him. That's why he could say, we're glorified because we are in Christ. When he came up, we came up with him. And we stand with him. And we are redeemed. And we have not just this meeting to look forward to. We've got what this meeting is pointing to. We've got what this meeting is hoping to give us a foretaste of that day of eternal salvation when it is delivered to us and we see it and we experience it, and it's just going to be a pretty good time, don't you think? I love the old Baptist. I love our meetings. As much as I love you, if the Lord came to me, and as much as I love Sister Leslie, if the Lord came to me and said, Dave, you want to be like Enoch? I mean, like, I'll sign. Where do I sign? Let's go. I don't need to go say, I'm not going to say goodbye. I'm not going to jinx it. Let's go right now. Let's go. I think about a man by the name of Simeon. I think about his life. And I think about the strange thing about Simeon's life, the strangely wonderful aspect of Simeon's life, when that he was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he has beheld the Lord's Christ. What would you do with that, y'all? What would you do? You're not going to die until you see your Messiah. I'm going to eat every donut I see. I'm going hog wild at the dinner table. I'm not going to die until I see Jesus. What if the Lord came to you and said this? You're not going to die until the resurrection. In other words, you're going to live to see the resurrection. Would you sign up on that? I wouldn't. Let me tell you why. What if it's another 1,000 years from now? Imagine me looking 1,000 years older than the way I look now. What? Right? What if I commit some crime and they're putting me in jail for life? That's 1,000 years. I asked Brother Allen one time this. I said, Brother Allen, would you rather be here on earth when the Lord comes back, or would you like to be like with one of those that come down with him? And he said, David, that's the stupidest question you've ever asked. He said, what difference does it make? Either way, I'm with the Lord. But I like to think, and going back to Simeon, I don't think Simeon was just like pacing a ring around the carpet. I don't think Simeon was just wearing the flooring down, standing at the same place as the temple, looking at every baby that came along. Because it says the Spirit told him to go to the temple that day. You can read it. The Lord's going to give us these things, but it's weak. It's nothing we can bear. I don't think the prodigal son's father was standing in the road 24/7 waiting for the boy to come back. But he saw him coming back. That's the point. So the Spirit of the Lord signified to Simeon, you need to go to the temple. And he came in, the scripture says, in the Spirit. And that means this, that the Spirit was guiding his eyes and guiding his mind. Because when he saw an 8-day-old baby boy, he knew that was the Lord's Christ. He did not see a 30-year-old grown man. He did not see a strong individual. He saw a baby 8 days old. And he knew by the Spirit, this is the Messiah. And he held the Lord's Christ in his arms. And he praised God, as we should. And what did he say? Lord, it's going to get good. Let me hang around for a while. No, he didn't say that. He said, let thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I'm good. Nothing better than this except just let me go on and be with you. You see, friend, he could have stayed and watched the Lord, his Messiah, the Lord's Christ, grow up. He could, maybe, right? Maybe he could have been there to see him baptized of John. Maybe he could have, like, he sees the Spirit descending upon John like a dove and hear the voice. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He could have heard him preach. He could have heard him pray. He could have heard him sing. He could have sat down and asked questions with him and been refreshed in the presence of his Savior. But he's saying, no more of this world. No more. I'm like Job. I would not live always. I'm done. Let me go on and be. I'll see him when he comes back. I'll see. And he was waiting on him. And they're still up there today. So my friends, what makes this life able to be lived and to be tolerated? And what helps us in our walk of faith is not retirement. It's not your diet. It's not your exercise plan. It's not your kids. It's not anything that you have come up with on your own. It is the fact that you are going to be with the Lord some sweet day, and that this world is not your home. I don't want a 1,000-year reign. I want as long as that 1,000 years as he gives. You know what I'm saying? It's symbolic. I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting for all this stuff to happen and this all this that they're saying, this kingdom's going to come down. He's going to rebuild the temple. He's already rebuilt the temple. When he rose from the grave, he rebuilt that temple. And when he placed his Spirit within us, we became the temple of the living God. His work is now ongoing and regenerating, and soon I'm just going to regenerate them all, going to get them all up there, and then we'll come to say, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, there's your sermon on victory. And so, I love being able to know about this. And I want to get it right, and I don't want to mess up, and I don't want to preach something that's not thus saith the Lord. And I want to write as the Bible says. And so it's this. I love the fact, and I'll close on this thought. I love the fact that my Savior loved me so much that nothing was going to prevent him from doing what he came to do and from bringing his beloved home. That he has devised means to help his beloved escape. He is the means, by the way. You see, you believe in means salvation. Amen. Yes, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what get me up there. God bless you. Thank you. Y'all come see us in Lavernia. Please, we love you. We want to love you more. You come see us. God bless you. It's my prayer.
We have a Savior who was willing and met the full demand of that was set before him. One question he didn't ask is, are you forsaking me? The question was, why? And that's the answer to that is because he loved his people. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and Jesus Christ loved us so much that he laid down his life. He wasn't just one who was willing to do so. He was one who came and set his eyes as a flint upon Jerusalem. And that intensity with which he knew the work that was set before him that he was going to finish, you have that same intensity in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's a lively hope that we have.
Amen.
Because of the conquering victory of Christ Jesus. Let's stand and sing. Have an opportunity. Again, if you have a desire to join the church, you'll have that opportunity. Also to wish Godspeed to these two servants. Give them that encouragement. And to show your loved one for another. You have